Well, here we are, as I've always done in the past, particularly around this time of year, September, I always go to God, really seeking God as to what he would have me preach for this new term. And, you know, I bounced all sorts of ideas around in my head. But as I did this, I kept coming back to one thing in particular, and this was to pick up the story of Moses again from where we left off. Now, who can remember when we actually started the story of Moses? Pardon? This time last year, any advances on that? It was September 2022. Goodness me. Yes, it was September 2022 when we started it. And we left them in the wilderness in July 2023. Okay, so that's so it's a lot further back than you realise, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? And I can't help but feel that this is not where I wanted the story, for us at least, to end, because there's so much more I feel that God wants us to learn from this incredible journey of Moses and the children of Israel. Anyway, I really felt compelled that this is what God wanted me to do, but I said to God, look, I'm going to New Wine. Will you really speak to me? Will you confirm it one way or the other? Because often when I'm at New Wine, God really powerfully speaks to me from, you know, all sorts of things. So I prayed about this and I went to New Wine, and would you believe it, the very, very first talk on the first evening by Rich Johnson, who now heads up New Wine, was about the children of Israel not going into the land, which is exactly where we left our story. I just thought that was just amazing. And so I felt really encouraged. And on top of that, loads of other speakers just kept referring to Moses and the journey out of Egypt. So I really came back thinking, yes, Lord, this is what you want me to do. So as with all good series we watch on the television, you know, we're going to do a previously on, for example, Silent Witness or The Crown or FBI, just to give you a few examples of the kind of TV programs I watch. Previously in the story of Moses, that's what we're going to do this morning. That's before we get on to what happens next. But I don't want to just do a kind of a basic recap. I want to try, if I can, try and put us back into, recapture some of those senses of what the Holy Spirit was saying to us, that sense of prophetic word as to why we were doing this journey in the first place. Now, with that in mind, who can remember the key scripture that caused me to want to look at this story of Moses? That's a bit of a test, this, isn't it? Who can remember the key scripture? We have sung about it. Just give you a little hint. Okay, the key scripture is this. Yeah. Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. And that's what it's all about. It's all about God's presence. You know, and I'd felt that word even before Rob Scott Cook came and shared that was the word for him for the year. And I think, wow, God, you know, you're just confirming this left, right and centre. So it's within that context of all about God's presence that I wanted to talk previously in the story of Moses. I just love those words that we've just been singing. We've prayed our prayers, we've made our plans, but if you're not in it, we don't want it. God, would you move? That's what it's all about. So, the children of Israel, it's all started. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. Life had changed unrecognizably from, you know, the wonderful times around Joseph, when Joseph kind of got the whole nation of Egypt, as well as, you know, all the surrounding nations. They got them out of a crisis of famine. The children of Israel, just a large family at this stage, moved to Egypt, and they were well blessed. You know, God looked after them. But a new pharaoh came to power, who resented what was happening with the children of Israel and made their lives total misery and turned them into slaves. And it felt like they were a people without hope. At least they probably felt like they were a people without hope. And what happens? They call on God and Moses is born. And I want us just to make a point here that God didn't actually abandon his people. They might have felt like a people without hope, but God hadn't abandoned them. His presence was with them. They'd grown from being just a large family, Jacob's family. They'd grown from that to being a complete nation. And God hears their cries. He was with them. His presence was there. And one of the key points I wanted to make back then, when I introduced this whole story and this whole journey, is that this journey is a story of hope in a changing world. Okay, a story of hope in a changing world. And for sure, that you know, in this journey, and no doubt in our journeys as well, there's lots of ups and there are lots of downs along the way. We recognise this, don't we? What really interesting, as I was preparing for today's talk, I was listening to one of the Lectio morning sessions, and Pete Gregg shared something I just felt was really fitted into this. And he said that it's easy to regard pain and joy as opposites, where when they are often inseparably connected. I love it. We think of them as opposites, but really they're inseparably connected. Can you think of an example where pain and joy are just two sides of the same coin? Can you think of an example? I can think of childbirth. Parallel, Rick, you're right. A parallel childbirth. But that is a real classic example, isn't it? Childbirth, the pain of childbirth, but the joy of bringing. Sport, interestingly, is another one. You know, the pain you have to go through, training, and you might have to go through disappointment until eventually you get the prize that you've been working for all your life, and it brings great joy. Of course, the greatest example of pain and joy, of course, is Jesus and his sacrifice of his own life on the cross so that we could have the joy of our salvation. Pain and joy, they actually go together. And we see a lot of pain and a lot of suffering in this story. But the journey is a journey of hope. And it's meant to lead to a life of joy. It's meant to. But as we recognise in our story, they didn't quite get there. So Moses is born, he's raised in a palace as an Egyptian prince, but that's not who Moses really was. You know, yes, he was an Egyptian prince, but that's not the real him. And at the age of 40, Moses kills an Egyptian who is punishing one of the Hebrew slaves. And as a result of this, Moses has to flee the country. But this is all in God's purpose, okay? It's all in God's purpose, because God wanted Moses to discover who he really was. Not this Egyptian prince, but this man who's going to be a leader of God's people and who's going to lead them to freedom. And we get to this incredible, iconic scene, don't we? The burning bush. It would be really strange if we had and previously in the life of Moses, and we didn't have this iconic story of the burning bush, because it is really important. In fact, Nikki has kind of alluded to it when she was sharing about these moments in our lives when God, you know, gets our attention. Moses experienced a tangible sense of the presence of God for the first time. And I suspect, you know, we all from time to time, don't we? We all from time to time have those moments when God speaks to us powerfully. It kind of stops us in our tracks. It makes us think, makes us question. But, you know, God may not do it in a burning bush experience, but he does stop us. And, you know, he stops our rhythms, he stops our things, just because he wants us to stop for a moment and listen to him, for him to be able to help us to discover what is the true purpose of our lives. So easy, isn't it, to get into the groove, to get into the rock. And it may be a really good groove, but God wants us here. How's he going to do it? He just has to stop us, catch our attention. As you might remember, in Moses' case, when God spoke to him, he raised all sorts of issues, fears, doubts, insecurities. They all come to the surface as Moses pours out his heart and says why he's not the man to do this. And what we learn from this episode is this. Actually, we are worthy of the call. When God calls us, we're worthy of that call. And it's nothing to do with us. It's not because, you know, somehow in our own strength we are worthy of the call. It's all because of him. It's all because of God. It's because God is calling us, and that makes us worthy. So we must never let our past failures rob us of what God wants for us. We should not write ourselves off because we do not feel good enough. You're worthy of the call because God says so. And God said that to Moses. And he demonstrates this by saying, I will go with you. And this is with this whole sense of God's presence really starts in this story. I will go with you. You know, and if God is with us, what else do we need, really? I know we feel it, but if we can just grasp hold of is God is with us, what else do we need? With God, all things are possible. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So we mustn't worry about the things we cannot do or are outside of our control, because God will do those things. But the things that God wants us to do, he will equip us to do, because he has called us, okay? So the key message is, you be you and let God be God. And work together, hand in hand with God, because he's with you, he's equipped you, he's called you, and you can do it. You really can do it. He will ensure also that you have the right people around you, as God did with Moses, because he brought Aaron alongside him. Now, as I think about what God might be doing in our lives at this time, or God is doing in the church, what I'm feeling in my spirit is this. I really believe we're in the right place right now. I believe you're in the right church. I hope you're not thinking of leaving. But, you know, I believe we're in the, you know, we are where God wants us to be. I feel it. I feel God speaking to us. I feel the things that we're involved in. I feel God's hand in. I feel he's equipping us. It's exciting. We are in a good place. Now, that might not ring true for every individual in every situation, but looking at the whole thing, I feel we are where God wants us to be. All we need is to listen to him and pursue his presence, and we will succeed. Now, at this time, when God is calling him, Moses is now 80 years of age, and God's made him ready for the task. And whatever we might think about our age, looking at just a few people who are slightly older than me, whatever we think about our age, you know, Moses was 80, and boy, did he do a mighty work. You know, we can do it if God has called us, whether God is calling you for an individual task or whether God is calling us as a church and we think our average age is a bit high to do some of these things. No, it's not. No, it's not. If God says we can do these things, then we can do it. We've just got to be up and willing to step into the call. And if you look at those things, look at that list of things, look how much God does compared to us. God does most of it, actually. Well, as you probably remember, Moses returns to Egypt. He gets the support of his people, and off he goes to face Pharaoh, demanding that the Pharaoh should let God's people go. So he did all the right things. He heard God, and he obeyed God, and this is when it all started to go pear-shaped, because Pharaoh's heart grew hard. He increased the workload of God's people. The people got really angry with Moses, and Moses felt very alone and very vulnerable, all because he obeyed God. I mean, doesn't seem fair, does it? You do the right thing and it all goes wrong. And I know that we all experience this from time to time. It's really hard. And sometimes, you know, things have to get worse before they get better. Amazing, Keir Starmer said that recently, didn't he? Things are going to get worse before they get better. Maybe he's been reading the story of Moses. I don't know. I suspect not. But things do often get worse before we get better. But, you know, I'm always reminded and encouraged by these wonderful scriptures. Romans 8, 28. I know we roll them off our tongues, but we've got to do more than roll them off our tongues. We've got to take them to heart and really believe them. You know, I know in all things that God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. I really like the way the Passion does this, which is what's on the slide there. We are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan, bringing good into our lives, for we are his lovers who've been called to fulfill his designed purpose. Those three last words, his designed purpose. His designed, and it's full of purpose. And that's for all of us, no matter what we are going through. And sometimes we forget, don't we, that life actually isn't all about us. It isn't all about what we want and our difficulties and where we're going, etc. Actually, it's part, you know, we are on God's journey, God's plan, God's purpose. And we need to remind ourselves sometimes that our lives are not our own. They are God's. We are his workmanship. Sadly, at this point in time, God's people were so shallow, they just didn't really understand the whole thing about God being with them and God helping them, etc. So God was going to have to teach them the hard way. And so, and this is classic, isn't it? The testing of our faith produces perseverance. Hard times are hard times, but they are necessary. And this is why the children of Israel had to be led into the wilderness. I felt sorry for Moses. Because for Moses, you know, here's this guy trying to do the right thing. And for doing all the right things, he probably felt as lonely as lonely could be when everybody turned on him. Can you imagine how that felt? When you're really trying to obey God, you're really trying to be faithful, you love the people, but they've all got angry at you. They've all accused you of doing all sorts of things and not delivering. And, you know, and that must have been so hard. And this was a hard lesson for Moses. And what Moses had to learn at that time was only God. I have to trust in God and God's presence. Well, then we come to the most, you know, probably well-known part of the story of Moses. Even, you know, everybody seems to know this. We come to the plagues. I'm not going to go through every plague. We wouldn't have time. There are nine of very various severity, followed by the ultimate plague, when every firstborn of Egypt dies. And at this point, Pharaoh finally lets God's people go. And it's where, in this part of the story, you get the Passover lamb is introduced. It's a wonderful, beautiful, vivid foretaste of Jesus being the sacrificial lamb dying for our salvation. And God is about to, these people are about to step into freedom. It's all ahead of them, including crossing the Red Sea. And as they face the Red Sea, do you remember what God says to them as they face the Red Sea? Three phrases. This is hard, isn't it? You know, I did say I was going to talk about this stuff. Three phrases. Oh, I was going to tell you. I'll put you out of your misery. Remember that? Fear not. Stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord. This is how God people needed to live. This is what God required of them. This is what God requires of us all the time. Fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord. But they couldn't do it. They just were not strong enough at this time to do fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the God. But it is what God expects from anybody who is following him and trusting him. This is how we need to live our life in the abiding presence of God. You know, we don't pray for the presence of God just so we can lull around in it. Oh, this is wonderful. We need the presence of God to help us to not to fear. We need the presence of God to help us to stand firm. We need the presence of God so that we can see God working miracles in our lives and around us. And again, I just want to emphasize the importance of the presence of God, okay? It's when we are with him, then we can do everything. It's his presence that ultimately produces faith within us. If you're not walking, listen, if you're not walking closely with God, then you're going to find these three things really hard. And for the children of Israel, you know, well, we'll come on to that. They just didn't have the anchor that they needed. If God's presence is in you and you're walking close and you can do those three things, those will be your anchor. So God had to teach his people. He had to take them out into the wilderness. Could have been a really short journey, but it wasn't. It was a long journey because God needed to, if you like, get Egypt out of the children of Israel. Inside of them, they had memories of food. They had memories of work. They had memories of security. They had memories of family life. They seemed to forget slavery. They seemed to forget the beatings. You know, so that this Egypt just kept pulling them back every time. So as soon as they hit any difficulty, they just wanted to go back to Egypt because Egypt, past life had become their anchor. They were relying on what happened a few years ago. How many of us live on past experiences? Those past experiences, those past answers to prayer, great as they are, they become our anchor. But our anchor needs to be the abiding presence of God if we want to move forward. Otherwise, we are destined to live in the past and stay there. We cannot live in the past and stay there. We have to move forward. And to do that, our anchor needs to be God. From time to time, we will find ourselves in the wilderness. We know that. You might actually be in the wilderness right now. But God needs to do his necessary work if we're going to be strong enough to not fear, to stand firm and see the salvation of our God. It was this point, incidentally, because the children of Israel were moaning and groaning and all sorts of things, it was this point I introduced a three-course meal. Who can remember the three-course meal? Three things. Oh, you know, you're doing so well. Three-course meal, I'm going to tell you. For your starter, yeah, remember this? Worship or whinge, those are your choices. For your main course, well, you could have bread or you could have quail. And for your dessert to finish up with, you can have fight or flight. Again, we can't go into the depths of all these things. But the thing here we learned is that the children of Israel chose wrongly every time. Okay, they just got it wrong. You know, instead of worshipping, they whinged, they moaned, they complained. And yet, you know, they were on part of this journey. It was meant to be a journey of worship. 3 days into the wilderness and worship God, that was always there. But they couldn't do it. They just whinged and whinged and whinged. They completely forgot what God had called them to do. And yet we've been singing this morning, haven't we? I'll praise in the valley, praise on the mountain, and praise when I'm sure, and I'll praise when I'm doubting. They weren't singing that song for sure. They craved after meat, even though God had provided manna every single day. And when real battles faced them, all they wanted to do was run away. They chose the wrong things every time. So we should not be surprised that when they finally got to the place of decision, which is where we got to, they said, we cannot take the land. We just can't do it. And that was the point of decision. And so we came full circle, and that's where we left our story back in July 2023. 12 spies, they went out and spied the land. 10 came back, and they gave a terrible report about giants in the land, fortified cities, you know, it's going to be terrible, we're going to be defeated, etc., etc., etc. Only two people, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, hey guys, we can take the land. Only Joshua and Caleb believed in the ultimate presence of God. Rich Johnson, in his preach, you know, when he was talking about this particular part of the story, he made the point that all sorts of temptations exist in our journey to cause us not to move forward. Temptations to return to how things used to be. That's what I've said about it, isn't it? Living in the past. Temptation to give in to fear. Temptation to settle where you are, even though, you know, things are great, you just want to settle, and that's so tempting. I'm too old, I don't want any more battles. Do we feel that sometimes? Well, you know, we can't allow those kinds of temptations to cause us decide not to move forward in the purposes of God. You know, and Rich Johnson really was encouraging the whole New Wine organization not to settle or to coast and to be comfortable, but to really seek God for direction and growth and to be prepared to take up the challenges that God sets before them. That's the kind of leader I want to be associated with. I'm really thrilled as a church. You know, we go to New Wine. I go to New Wine leaders meetings, and we're very much part of this. And that kind of, you know, get up and believe God type leadership is what I want to walk alongside. It's great. The children of Israel kept looking back. They kept looking back. And so here we are. They didn't make it into the promised land. Okay, they didn't make it. And what's going to be coming up over the next few weeks, all being well, unless God sort of yanks me into a different direction, we're going to look at the following stories, you know, between now and Christmas. We're going to look at Korah's rebellion in Numbers 16. It's a very interesting story. I'm going to do that next week. Okay, you might want to read Numbers 16 before that. We're going to talk about when Moses didn't speak to the rock. He struck it instead, even though God had told him to speak to it. That's in Numbers 20. We're going to talk about, I've put my Balaam's donkey because I'm trying to be polite. But, you know, I've always known it as a child as Balaam's ass, but you kind of feel you should say those words like that, should you, in church? But Balaam's donkey, it's a fascinating story. I'm not sure quite what I'm going to do there, but I just feel God wants me to do this story, so I'm just being obedient. And then, you know, things get handed over from Moses to Joshua. And so we're going to look at a second story of the spies. These are different spies with a different outcome. So I wonder how those stories compare. Why was this one successful and the other one wasn't? And that's in Joshua 2. And then we're going to finish this journey, at least for the time being, when the walls of Jericho fall down. We've been singing about that, haven't we? Isn't that amazing? So, yeah, that's the current plan. And so for us as a church and as individuals, you know, I just want to finish with this. You know, we are on a journey, and my heart, and I hope it's your heart too, that this journey is about pursuing God's presence. It's all about God's presence. You know, on this journey ahead, there are going to be challenges. We've already experienced challenges. We are always experiencing challenges. There will be. But if God is with us, you know, we can take the land, whatever that phrase means. We can do what God has called us to do. We can do it. You can do it. We can. We've just got to believe God. You know, what's really incredible about the last part of the story, you know, when they decided they weren't going to take the land. I mean, it's mind-blowing, this. You know, God was with his people. Joshua and Caleb were saying, we can take the land. God is with us. And they chose not to do it, right? They chose not to do it, even though God was with them. And so God said, right, you're not going to go in the land. I'm going to lead you to the wilderness. And so God leads them off into the wilderness. So they start having second thoughts. I think we might have got something wrong here. Okay, we better go and do it. And so they go off into the land, even though God is not with them. And of course, they get defeated. They didn't get the presence of God. So when God was with them, they didn't do what they should do. And then God wasn't with them, they tried to do what God had told them to do. I mean, how wrong can you get things? As a church and as individuals, we've got to seek the presence of God. We've got to seek the Spirit of God. We've got to listen to that conviction in our hearts. God, what are you telling me to do? And be faithful to that. And when God is telling us not to do something, let's be faithful to that too and not do it. And let's start walking by faith. For me, God's presence, everything. If you do not go with us, do not send us. If you're not in it, I don't want it. God, move on this land. I pray, we need to pray, we need to listen, we need to receive God's words, instructions. We need to obey if we're going to fulfill everything that God wants us to do. Amen. Next week, read Numbers 16, Korah's Rebellion. Fascinating story.